I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Massachusetts is often considered one of the more progressive states when it comes to protecting the rights of gays and lesbians. And in 2004, it was the first state in the nation to legalize same-sex marriage. But that doesn't mean there aren't still struggles. Joining us to talk about support, education, and advocacy for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people is Amy Mesereau. She's president of PFLAG of Cape Cod and the PFLAG regional director for the Northeast region, which includes the six New England states. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
And from the WGBH studios in Boston, Diego Sanchez, who is the National Policy Director for PFLAG. Good morning, Diego.
Good morning, Mindy. Thank you.
Diego, you work for PFLAG on a national level, and Amy, you work here on the regional and local level. Mm-hmm. So for listeners not familiar with PFLAG, Amy, we'll start with you. Explain the history of the organization and what you do both on the national and the local level.
Sure. PFLAG is a nationwide nonprofit organization. It was founded in 1972 after a woman in New York City marched in a gay pride parade with a sign that said, "I'm proud of my gay son." And she had such a reaction from the bystanders of gay people saying, "Will you talk to my mother? Will you talk to my parents? Will you talk to my family members?" And so she started a little support group in a church basement. And it just grew and grew and grew into this national organization that provides support, education, and advocacy to and on behalf of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people and their family members.
Yeah. And Diego, what do you do on a national level?
Well, fortunately, I get to work with Amy quite a bit. We're grassroots driven, so that means that what is needed in local markets is what reigns for us. So we work on policy and laws that support our people in all 50 states in order to live more full lives.
So, as you mentioned, PFLAG started out as this acronym for Parents, Families of Lesbians and Gays, but you now make a point to include bisexual, transgender, queers, and I'm going to talk about that word in a second, okay, and questioning as part of your organization's tagline. So talk about this evolution. And, you know, as I mentioned to you, Amy, the word queer, I mean, I feel uncomfortable saying it, but right, the younger people are embracing that.
Right. And it's a difficult word for us to use because middle-aged and older people still see the word queer as a gay slur and don't want it used, whether they're straight or LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. But the young people have reclaimed that term, and they really like that term. They either use it as an umbrella term for being lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or they use it because they don't want to be pigeonholed in any one category. They just want to be referred to as queer.
Diego, can you explain the term transgender?
Absolutely. Transgender is a term that is used for people whose brains do not necessarily match the bodies that they were born with. So it's people who identify either by their behavior or their actual gender identity itself to be different than that which is perceived at birth. And this can or sometimes does not include gender nonconforming people, people who just generally do not present the way that they would be expected to by society.
Yeah. Can you talk about your personal experience? Can we talk about that, Diego?
Absolutely, yes. Thanks, Mindy. Well, when I was age 5, I told my parents that I was born wrong. And my mom left the room, and I thought I was going to get a big spanking or something. She came back with a copy of Life magazine that had Christine Jorgensen on the cover. And she said, "This is a person who was born a boy, grew up to be a man, and became a woman. And I think if that can happen now in the early 60s, that by the time you grow up, it will be okay." So my parents dually socialized me. I learned what I needed to know as a boy and also suffered through what I had to learn as a girl.
And Amy, I'm thinking, and Diego, not all parents react like that. So that's a tough situation for a young. You were lucky to have the parents that you had.
I'm very blessed.
Yeah. So how do these kids, you know, teenagers think who are struggling with that? How do you help them with PFLAG? I mean, what do you do to support them when they don't have parents that might be as supportive?
Well, we support them by trying to get their parents to come and learn and talk about what they're feeling and hear from others in our PFLAG group that have gone through similar experiences. And over time, it does take time for them to open up their minds and be more accepting and supportive of their child. And this happens whether they're transgender and still happens if they're lesbian, gay, or bisexual often.
And are you seeing more transgender individuals showing up at the meetings?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We have two meeting locations. One is in Brewster and one is in East Falmouth. And particularly in our East Falmouth location, the vast majority of new people coming to our meetings are either transgender themselves or have a family member who is. And that East Falmouth group is well over half transgender or family members of transgender.
Are you finding that the challenges faced by transgender individuals differ from the challenges faced by gay, lesbians, and bisexuals, or are they all similar?
There are definitely differences, and it's definitely more of a challenge to be transgender than to be lesbian, gay, or bisexual. But there's also a lot of parallels. There's a similar struggle in terms of accepting and supporting a child who is not what you thought they were and is not going to fulfill the dream that you had, the vision that you had of what their life was going to be like. But for somebody whose child is transgender, they're not only have a change in what that person's life is going to, what their child's life's going to turn out to be, but they're actually feel like they're losing a son or a daughter. Mm. So it's a more difficult process.
So then do you have support groups then for parents to kind of work through some of those feelings?
Yes, we have two monthly support group meetings. The third Monday of every month at First Parish Brewster and the last Tuesday of every month at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Falmouth in East Falmouth. And the people that come are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender themselves or family members. Mm-hmm. So it's a very varied group. Some people come for support, others come to give support, others come to work with PFLAG on education and advocacy. But we provide support at every meeting, and then about half or a little more than half of our meetings, we also have an educational program, a film or a speaker.
And Diego, I know that you speak to a lot of different groups, and I would think very helpful on two fronts. On that kid who's in the audience who's having these feelings and saying, wow, look, you were able to transform your life. And then also parents who go, wait a second, what's going on here? I mean, just the education mm-hmm. process in itself, I would think, would be very helpful for some of these parents who are having a tough time accepting that.
Absolutely. And the truth is, the blessing about PFLAG is that it's non-judgmental. We don't forget our past. We don't forget that absolutely everyone struggled with acceptance at some point. So it's a wonderful, bright bridge for parents or, frankly, siblings as well. You know, my parents were very loving. It was my younger brother who said he was very upset at losing his sister. So the whole issue of family starts with love, and that's where PFLAG begins. It gives people hope, but it also gives them very realistic paths for improvement and a way to grow their love, to accept their child for what they really wanted, which is whatever it is they want and what's best for them.
Yeah. Now, prior to your current position with PFLAG, you were Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank's senior policy advisor, which made you the first openly transgender person to work as a legislative staff member on Capitol Hill. You shared your story about coming out to your family. What about your coworkers?
I was very lucky, in fact, that coworkers were accepting. The best thing, though, was that they could ask questions of me that they'd never been able to before. And that's true because of the access that Barney gave me, which means he wanted me to meet members of Congress as well as their staffers. As a result, people were able to ask questions of me and get good answers without judgment and with good information and true trust that they may not have received elsewhere.
Amy, how did you get involved with PFLAG?
When my son was 15, he was a sophomore in high school, he came out to us as gay. And my husband and I were both raised in very progressive homes, in very progressive towns, had gay friends, had gay relatives. And we thought it would be no problem if we had a gay child. And in fact, when our kids, we have a daughter and a son, when our kids were, I think, 9 and 12, our nephew came out. And we saw it as a teachable moment for our kids. And we said to them, Your cousin David is gay. Some people think there's something wrong with being gay. We don't. And if one of you turned out to be gay, that would be just fine with us. And my son said, well, I'm not. And I said, I know, but if you were, it'd be okay. And then 3 years later, he's coming out to us and with tears streaming down his face. And we said, how long have you known you were gay? And he said, 3 years. And we were, 3 years? You held this all in for 3 years? Why did you wait so long? Did you think we wouldn't be accepting? And he said, no, I knew you would be accepting, but I couldn't accept it in myself. Mm. He said that he knew being gay was the worst thing he could possibly be. And we said, oh my gosh, why would you think that? And he said, because of all the gay slurs he heard in school every day, multiple times a day throughout middle and high school. And he desperately didn't want to be gay. He spent 3 years researching it, thinking about it, and hoping and praying that it would just go away. Yeah. And then he realized it wasn't going to. And we joined PFLAG because we needed some support ourselves.
Even though you were very accepting.
Yeah. So that's why I can really understand people who didn't grow up in progressive homes or towns or have religious objections, which we didn't, how hard it is sometimes for them.
And I imagine there are lots of other young people just like your son who have this, they're holding it inside, even if they have parents who they think would be accepting. Now, how about the kids who have the parents who they know would not be accepting? I mean, what a burden on top of being afraid, as your son was, to face that.
It's surprising that even today, kids are afraid to come out. We at PFLAG of Cape Cod go around and visit most of the gay straight alliances in the high schools every year to talk to them about PFLAG and to find out, you know, what we can do to help them. And we ask them, how many of you have not yet come out to your parents? And how many of you have come out to your parents, but they're not very supportive? And how many of you come out to your parents and they are supportive? And it's about a third, a third, a third, which really surprised us. But it is still hard for kids and it's hard for their parents.
Diego, I imagine you get a lot of kids talking to you about that very issue.
It's so true, Mindy. The fact is that while we hear stories, I'm not sure what the root of it is, but we hear stories that the East Coast is taken care of and the West Coast is taken care of and everything's fine and now we need to find somewhere else to help. I don't believe that. In the example that Amy just brought out, that's right here on the Cape Coast and Islands, but it's true in many towns between big cities, on any coast and between. And children who come out at any age, even children above the age of 50, you're always your parents' child, no matter what. And what you want to do is please your parents, but you also want to do what they've asked, which is to be yourself. So the struggle continues. We still need laws. We still need more love to stop things like bullying. You know, people are afraid to come out because sometimes it's not safe. And my rule for coming out is do so when it's safe. PFLAG helps people build a network of safety so that their families can adjust as they do.
That's a really good point about coming out where it's safe. I'm glad you made that point. We're talking about PFLAG, an organization that supports, educates, and advocates for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about support, education, and advocacy for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. PFLAG. Amy Mezzaro is president of PFLAG of Cape Cod and the PFLAG regional director for the Northeast. And Diego Sanchez is national policy director for PFLAG. Our toll-free number, 866-999-4626. Perhaps you have a question, a comment, or a story you'd like to share with us. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Before we leave some of the national legislation, Diego, I wanted to just mention a couple other things that I know are on your radar screen. And one is the Affordable Health Care Act, being inclusive, right, of LGBT. What are we looking at there?
Absolutely, yes. Mindy, the thing is, the Affordable Care Act has granted access for everyone to be able to have health care coverage. And this is something we in Massachusetts are no strangers to. We've built up our own health care exchange to make sure that we have 97% to 98% coverage of all of our people. But LGBT people, when they're approaching their providers, they're granted access. You have to be able to have providers who are able to speak without embarrassment about every topic that an LGBT person needs to look out for their health. And it may be experience that that provider does not have, but it doesn't get them off the hook for understanding how to support their patients, meaning all patients. So PFLAG was very much involved in reaching the more than 7 million people who are now enrolled in healthcare, and many of whom still need to be able to talk to their providers, and their providers need to be educated to help them. And the other thing on the state side, back to suicide prevention, because it's so important, one of the key areas that may not be sexy or exciting, but really most important, is data collection. We PFLAG is involved nationally on a state-by-state basis to ask school districts to make sure that they are asking people about their sexual orientation or gender identity and expression, because we need to know how many of us there are in order to figure out how many we're serving or not.
Judith is giving us a call from Forest Hill. Good morning, Judith.
Hi. I'm outdoors, so it's kind of windy. Let's see if I can get in a quiet place. I just wanted to say that we have a granddaughter, and when Jesse first came to us, it was, needless to say, quite a shock, and we were so grateful that she felt safe enough to speak to us. I just want to recommend PFLAG for any parent, friend, relative to attend these meetings. They have been tremendous support for me and my husband. And we have nothing but gratitude that this was available to us.
Great. Judith, thank you. Thank you for calling and sharing that with us. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number if you'd like to share a comment or a question. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. One other thing, Diego, I wanted to mention, clarification of federal tax benefits for same-sex married couples.
Yes. The issue is that when we receive a right, we also receive an obligation. And this is a wonderful year, this past year, filing taxes this year for last year for same-sex couples who are legally married to be able to file jointly. This not only is effective as a law, but also through federal regulation. And under this administration, there have been tremendous gains. It means that while Massachusetts people that we've been able to file jointly in the state, it now becomes whole that same-sex married couples are able to file their federal taxes jointly if they prefer, and most importantly, to be recognized as legally married federally.
And then, Amy, there's a couple issues that PFLAG is following in Massachusetts. One of them is the Equal Access Bill. Tell us about that.
Yes. In 2011, the state passed the Transgender Equal Rights Bill, which legally protects transgender people from discrimination in housing, education, employment, and credit, and it gives them additional civil rights and protections from hate crimes. But it stops short of public accommodations. So there's a bill underway right now that would give transgender people equal access to in public accommodations. And public accommodation includes healthcare facilities, hotels, restaurants, retail establishments, theaters, parks, public transit, providers of professional service, such as law offices. All of these places can ask a person to leave merely because they're transgender.
Really? I didn't realize that. Okay. And then the other bill that you're looking at is banning conversion therapy in minors. So what? First of all, what is conversion therapy?
Conversion therapy are efforts to change somebody's sexual orientation or gender identity with the belief that it can be changed. And often it involves embarrassment and ridicule and sometimes infliction of pain. So it's really damaging to somebody's self-esteem, somebody's emotional, psychological health, and sometimes their physical health, because it can drive people to suicide.
I would imagine there's evidence that the therapy can be detrimental that you'd be using to try to get this legislation passed?
Yes, there's a lot of evidence. There haven't been any scientific studies with the kind of rigor that's required for it to be considered a true scientific study, but there's a lot of evidence that shows that, number one, you can't change somebody's sexual orientation or gender identity. Number two, that it's not a disease or disorder that should be changed. And number three, that there's evidence that you inflict a lot of physical, psychological, and emotional harm on somebody, and it increases the risk of suicide. So there's all of the professional organizations have come out with statements that discourage conversion therapy because of all the evidence of the harm it can do. Way back in 1973, the American Psychological Association removed the term homosexuality from the list of mental and emotional disorders and said that since it's not a disease, it doesn't need to be cured. And then years later, the American Psychological Association, followed by the American Psychiatric Association, said that scientific evidence shows that reparative therapy does not work and that it can cause more harm than good. Later, the American Medical Association opposed the use of reparative or conversion therapy. Then the U.S. Surgeon General asserted that homosexuality is not a reversible lifestyle choice. And most recently, 2 years ago, the World Health Organization said that there's a lack of medical justification that conversion therapy works and that it can, in fact, threaten health.
And so this legislation would ban conversion therapy on minors, and I'm assuming minors because as an adult you don't have to if somebody said you want to do conversion therapy you can say no, but a minor may not be able to say no if a parent's saying you're going to do this.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Diego, is this something that we're seeing legislation like this in other states?
Yes. In fact, there have been two successes so far in California and in New Jersey under Governor Christie. So we are seeing these bills pop up in different places. We, as PFLAG, often provide amicus briefs, meaning friend of the court documents that tell PFLAGers stories about families who either experienced this or who chose not to tell our stories as evidence for judges to review as they're looking at this and legislators to review as they're making laws. There are also, in addition to all the things Amy just mentioned, there were more than 250 organizations that signed a letter to send to the health organization and then, again, the president of Uganda to have them stop with the kinds of harmful laws that they're doing against LGBT people. So the evidence is strong. It is seen across the country. We are working diligently on a state-by-state basis in the places where they exist to remove these bills, to remove the laws.
Amy, talk a little bit about the evolution of PFLAG. As we mentioned in the beginning, it was really sort of a support group for parents, but it has grown into something much bigger than that.
Yes. When PFLAG of Cape Cod was first formed in 1988, it was almost all parents and a lot of parents that would come to meetings to talk about their gay child because there was nowhere else and to anyone else that they could talk to about having a gay child. Over time, the number of people coming to meetings kind of petered off because people could talk to other people about it and were more accepting and didn't need to talk about their gay child. But we still had parents coming. We also started having grandparents and siblings and friends of lesbians and gays. And then more recently, parents, families, and friends of transgender people that would come for support, and lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people themselves that either needed support, maybe didn't have family members that were supportive, and gained a lot by hearing from family members that were supportive. We also evolved into providing more support and advocacy. PFLAG always had this threefold mission, but the emphasis used to be on support. And we evolved into offering educational programming at our meetings and doing more in the areas of support and advocacy.
Yeah. So I guess this is a question for I don't know which one of you wants to answer this, but how does protecting the rights of individuals who identify as transgender differ from protecting the rights of gays, lesbians, and bisexuals? Or does it differ? Diego.
I think that today, while we have so much visibility for gay people, most people say that they know someone who is gay in our country. That's fortified by the laws that are inclusive for gay, lesbian, and bisexual people. Even Don't Ask, Don't Tell's repeal affects gay, lesbian, and bi people. It does not include transgender people. So the incidence of knowledge of someone is lower. It's harder because we're less familiar as transgender or transsexual people. So the more that we're more visible, that will change. I believe that what brought forth more visibility for gay people and lesbian and bisexual people is safety. Once people are safe to disclose who they are, they will find a way to do that when they're ready. For transgender people, we experience disproportionate violence, murder, and discrimination to even our gay, lesbian, and bi brothers and sisters. So as we create better safety, we'll have more presence and disclosure. It's something just because the language came about 15 to 20 years later, even though the incidents, like I existed, I've been alive for 57 years, but the word transgender is not.
Right. And, you know, I was just thinking back to Judith and her phone call and talking about her granddaughter. Made me think that sometimes it may be easier for a young person to talk to their grandparents than their parents. Do you find that?
Yes. And it's surprising that often grandparents are more accepting and supportive than their parents. They're just one step removed. They usually don't live with the person from day to day. And I think as people age, they just become more accepting and have more of a feeling of live and let live.
We got an email from Will in North Falmouth. He says, the point about medical providers needing education is very important. Is there any movement towards insurance coverage for sex reassignment surgery and other treatments that transgender people need?
Yes. Mindy, the fact is that the Affordable Care Act does not permit discrimination. So what is being done nationally and on a state-by-state basis is to make sure that there are insurance programs that do cover not only surgeries but also hormone treatment. There are more people who have hormone interventions than can ever afford surgery. But when it's covered by insurance, even in part, it allows people an option to do so if they choose, recognizing that some transgender people do not wish to transition medically, nor some are actually unable to because of a medical incident such as hepatitis C, things that affect your liver that would be affected by hormones, sometimes become contraindications, meaning that you disallowance for being able to have surgery. But for those who prefer it, yes, there are actions being taken to make sure that every state has inclusion in at least one of its programs in its exchange, because ACA requires no discrimination.
Paul has also sent an email. I'm a PFLAG member and just wanted to underline that the monthly PFLAG meetings are fully confidential. We are very careful leaving the meeting in the meeting room. We let the individual choose to continue to outside if they want to. So any parent with concerns or feelings of anger or loss can come to a place where people not only understand but have been there. To those parents, we say, please come visit with us in Brewster or Falmouth. My best, Paul. Thank you, Paul, for that. And since Paul mentioned that, we should mention you do have a meeting tonight. Amy and Diego, you'll both be there at 7 p.m. at the Universalist Fellowship of Falmouth and East Falmouth, and then the monthly meeting at the First Parish Church in Brewster is the third Monday of the month. Just less than a minute left, but Diego, looking forward, are you optimistic about rights and protections for the LGBT community in more conservative and evangelical regions of the country?
Yes, Mindy, because I think that more people, as they're able to disclose who they are and come out as who they are, we find that families are loving no matter what. And we have many evangelical members of PFLAG ourselves, of all denominations. Yes, I do believe that the world is getting better and our country is leading the way.
Yeah, you've got a really good point. When it's your family, you have it. Sometimes it tends to be a little more understanding. It's home. Amy Mesrael, president of PFLAG of Cape Cod and PFLAG regional director of the Northeast, and Diego Sanchez, national policy director for PFLAG. Thank you both for being here this morning. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mindy.
I want to thank Alan Mattis and Tom Devlin for production assistance in Boston. I'm Mindy Todd. Thank you for listening.
Amy Vince produces The Point with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.